The opinions expressed in this show are the views of the host and not necessarily that of WTRW, 94.3 The Talker, or the Bold Gold Media Group.
The following presentation is brought to you by the host of the program, who is solely responsible for its content.
All Century 21 real estate offices are independently owned and operated.
Welcome to the Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate on 94.3 FM The Talker. I'm Jackie Ruddy, broker in with Pat Devaney, my fellow realtor, husband, associate, right arm. Hello.
Hello, how are you? And I'm the guest today too.
Yes, you're the fire expert, fire safety expert. And we're going to talk with our producer, Jessica Schwab, today as well. She'll enter our discussion. We are here every Saturday and Sunday. We discuss numerous real estate topics. We have a full-time real estate office with over 12 realtors. We've been listing, selling, and appraising for over 40 years. We are the proud recipient of the Quality Service Award from Century 21 for 2010, and we just found out we're also awarded that Quality Service Award for 2011.
Congratulations.
Yes, so we have an outstanding office, I think. Feel free to email us
during the week with any questions you have at questions@jruddy.com. That's questions@jruddy.com. Or you can call us at 888-399-5225.
You can view our listings or search the MLS by going to jruddy.com, jruddy.com, where you can also listen to archive radio shows. And you can friend us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter at Jackie Ruddy. Okay, good morning, Pat.
Good morning.
Our fire safety expert. And you are our expert because you are a retired FDNY. That's Fire Department of New York.
City of New York, that's right.
Okay, and you had 20 years?
Yes, I did.
You're now retired?
Yes, I am. I feel like I'm being interrogated.
Okay.
Yes, so, ma'am.
You've seen it all?
Yes, yes. I've worked in the top 10 houses in the city, and I've worked in slower houses. I think I've been pretty much to every type of fire that there is.
And you're well-trained. You have an academy.
Yes, we have our own academy. We went through it. It was a couple of months that we had to go through the academy and training, and we used to drill daily, and we would go for periodic retraining up at the academy. So we knew our stuff.
And they were always improving your equipment and the way you did things and techniques and so on and so forth.
Yes, we used to drill all the time.
Great. All right. So you know your stuff. And so last week we talked a lot about home fires and where they start. They generally, a lot of them start in the kitchen, stoves, ovens, that sort of thing. We touched briefly on dryer.
Well, yes, we just touched on it.
Yes, but a lot of home fires are a result of dryers.
Yes.
Okay, what happens with the dryers?
What happens with the dryers is people don't check the lint filters or they're improperly vented. Lots of times with the dryers, people have these little flimsy plastic vents. Those, if you have that in your house, get rid of them. Because lint is so flammable, one little spark will catch all of that lint on fire inside the vent. So if you have the best way to do it is to have a solid pipe, a solid steel pipe right outside direct. So if there's a small flash in there, it'll just flash and then it'll be gone. But people don't check the lint, you know, and it usually goes all over. But the way it would start is people would turn the dryer on and then they go to the mall. And so there's a problem with a small fire, and they don't know it's on fire, and now a small fire has become a tragedy.
And by the time they get home, they don't have a house.
Correct.
Okay. So not only is it important to clean the little lint trap after every use.
After every use.
You should have one of these steel vents.
The steel pipes, and periodically, I don't know exactly what the schedule is, but you should run a shop vac through the vents to make sure that there's no obstructions, like with the screws that stick through, the sheet metal screws.
Yeah.
That catches lint.
Lint, yeah, sure.
And over time, that just accumulates. Okay. And then you get a blockage in there, and you have something, you could have a very bad situation.
Okay. So what happens, I go into a lot of houses, because that's what we do. We sell real estate. And if you're just tuning in, you're listening to the Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21 Jack Ready Real Estate on 94.3 FM, The Talker. And I see a dryer, and it has one of those plastic vents, and it loops up here, up the wall, down the other side, and it looks like an S going out the window.
It's an accident waiting to happen. It's a. I always tell people, I said, you should change that. That's an accident waiting to happen. If you use the flexible metal tubing, anything is better than that plastic venting. That stuff, it's terrible.
Okay, so what happens when there's no dryer vent? I've gone into houses where there is no dryer vent and they're using the dryer, and I could tell that they're not using a vent because...
It's little strings hanging all over the place. They look like spider webs all over the place. The lint just gets blown into the basement. That's just as bad because now you have that lint hanging on everything. Also, it's hanging over the burners on the boiler, whether it's oil or gas, and that stuff is very flammable. If it catches fire, it's just very bad. The dryer should be vented to the outside.
And how about into a stocking? I've seen some hosiery used over the years. Yeah, they use a piece of stocking.
They use a piece of stocking to catch the lint. I've seen people do that too, but that just restricts the airflow, and I think you're asking for more problems using that. If you're going to do it right. Have it vented outside.
Okay. All right.
Plus, you're just keeping all the moisture in the house from the clothes. You're just blowing it into the basement or whatever room the dryer's in.
And last week, we talked about smoke detectors. I would think if you have a basement laundry area, wherever you have your laundry area, first floor, second floor, or typically a lot of people do it in the lower level, you should have a smoke detector.
Absolutely essential.
Okay.
And they should be hardwired. Hardwired meaning that if one of them goes off, the whole house goes off.
And we covered all that last week along with carbon monoxide detectors. What do you think about candles? What's your take on
candles? My take on candles is when you leave them burning, that they leave black soot on the wall. Personally, I don't like candles. That's just one man's opinion. Some people love them. I don't like them. Plus, I think they're an accident waiting to happen. If you get the little kitty jumping across the cabinets where the candles are, it could knock the candle over. If you have wind blowing curtains, it could blow the curtains onto the candles. Children could knock the candles over. It's just, it's very dangerous.
Well, there's a lot of options out there for people that do like candles. There's wickless candles now. There's those Scentsy type of...
Air fresheners?
Yes, air fresheners. They use a bulb, and it's a warmer, and it melts the wax, and it...
Creates the scent.
It creates the scent. And there's a bunch of different things out there now.
I like birthday candles.
Wall plug things.
Yes, wall plug things.
I like birthday candles on a birthday cake, you know, because you blow them out and you keep an eye on them.
Yes.
It's the ones that are unattended are the ones that you're asking for trouble.
Yes. And I believe it or not, I mean, over the years, I've gone into show homes and people want their home to look the best. So what they do is they'll turn on all the lights and then they'll leave some candles lit.
Mm-hmm.
And before I leave, I think to myself, I cannot in good conscience leave this house with that candle lit. So I'll blow them out.
Right.
And if they want to call me and yell at me for blowing out their candle, so be it. That's fine. But I shut off the lights and I blow that candle out because I just feel like, you know, what if that cat, that dog, whatever, the wind through the window comes and knocks it over and there's a disaster.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. How about home safety, family escape plans, family fire drills? Do you believe in those?
Yes. Family fire drills are a great, great thing to have. They should be done every 6 months. You should have a meeting place where you meet outside the house in case there's a fire in the house. We have to tell children, do not hide. Lots of times little kids, what they want to do is they jump under a bed, they go into a closet, think they're going to be safe. We have to instill in our children, when that smoke detector goes off, get out of the house. Now, the best way to do a fire drill to make it interesting for the children is to put a blindfold on them and say, we're going to leave now. You're going to have to crawl out. So we put a blindfold on the kids and make them crawl out of the house to the front of the house, wherever you're going to have your meeting place. So now kids are not all afraid of it. It's a little bit of a game. You know, make it fun for the kids. You don't want to scare them with all this gloom and doom of what can possibly happen. You know, little kids get frightened easily.
Okay, so during this fire drill, what tips do you have to suggest to the family? If you're all in different parts of the house, what do you do and how do you do it? Getting out and getting to a safe area is essential for all family members. So you get on the floor.
Get on the floor. What the best way, there's always 2 or 3 inches of good air. Even if there's a big fire in the house, there's always 2 or 3 good inches of air next to the floor. So the way we were taught and the way it should be done is get down and crawl on your hands and knees. Don't go running around because you get a couple of gulps of that smoke and you're done. And it's usually not the fire that gets you, it's the smoke. So if you get down real low, have your nose actually scratch the floor, and you'll be able to find your way out. And usually you can see a little bit down there, too. There's usually a little bit of visibility down that low. But crawl out, have a meeting place, let with the children pick it out in the front. Like, you know, some people use the treehouse in the front or the lamppost out in the front. But have a meeting place because you don't want to be running around the house when you're all panicked looking for your little child. Mm-mm. Then people do stupid things like run back in when the kid is actually out already.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's how you get killed.
Well, how many fires did you go to over the years? I know there was quite a few where you found the people outside, you know, in their blankets covered in screaming that their baby was inside when in fact the baby was what?
The baby was the cat. The baby was the cat. I remember a couple of fires. I remember one of my friends, he's a chief now, he actually dove into a window in the rear because when there's a fire and there's a cat inside, the cat screaming
sounds like a baby
crying. And the people outside, this kid, he was crying, my baby, my baby. It wasn't a baby, it was the kitty cat. And the kitty cat was in there and it actually sounded like a baby crying. And my friend Dave dove into the window and he didn't get hurt at that one. But actually,
thankfully.
No. We found most of the cats. I think we found them all, and we gave them back to the kid, and he was very happy. He didn't have any place to live because his house was destroyed, but he had all the cats back.
Well, yeah, and I'm sure if there are small children involved and there's an attachment to a dog.
A pet,
a family pet.
That was one of Shane's questions.
Yeah.
Yep. What about the dogs? I said, you let mommy and daddy worry about the dogs. You do not worry about the dogs. Get out and you go to your treehouse.
My son's Patrick's very first pet, little does he know his only pet, our betta fish. He is worried about how fishy is going to get out.
Fishy will be just fine. He'll be in the water. He doesn't have anything to worry about.
Okay, so fire drills are important. How many times do you do fire drills?
Twice a year.
Okay. And a good way to do it is a blindfold. And that makes a lot of sense because how easy it is to become disoriented. You know better than any one of us.
It's in the middle of the night. It's usually fire start in the middle of the night when everybody's home. You can't see anything because the smoke takes away the visibility. Plus, the lights aren't on. So you got to find out. You have to know how to get out with your eyes closed.
And you guys used to do drills where you go into actual buildings to get the lay of the layout in daylight when there was no fire so that if there ever was a fire.
Right. That's why we would do inspections. We do things different than everybody else did. We would do the actual inspections of multifamily homes and all the commercial occupancies. So we would get an idea of the layout of the building. I'd rather go in at 2 o'clock in the afternoon with all the lights on than go in there.
See what it looks like.
Right. Then go in at 3 o'clock in the morning when the place is full of smoke and trying to figure it out. So when we used to do a lot of our search drills, what we would do was put a blackout face piece on, which is basically a blindfold. So you couldn't see. Your visibility was zero, so everything you would do was by touch.
Mm.
So that's
mind
a good...
you, I've got a mental image of my kid trying to crawl down the stairs now in a blindfold. I'll let you know next time how that works out.
They'll do just fine.
Yeah.
Take it. I was like, crawl down my steps.
You
we'll
can
see.
Do it. The kids,
we'll see.
Kids are more resilient than we are.
All right. Well, good luck with that. Before we head to a break, are you going to review a listing or share
an article? Yes, I have a list. Okay. No, I have a listing. Okay. This is a very well-maintained 2-bedroom, 2-bath home located on a quiet street in Scranton for $114,000. This property is located at 931 Snyder in Scranton. It has spacious rooms. It has a full bath on each floor with the first floor laundry area. It has an eat-in kitchen, a built-in microwave. It has newer carpeting on the second floor and an enclosed back porch. It has a 2-car garage. I like a 2-car garage where you can put all your stuff. It also has newer plumbing and wiring. The furnace and the hot water were replaced 4 years ago. So if you're looking for a 2-bedroom, 2-bath home with spacious room sizes, take a look at 931 Snyder Avenue in Scranton. for $114,000 listed by Trish Conway of our office.
Thank you, Pat. Stay with us on the Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21 Jack Ready Real Estate. We will be back after a very brief break. I'm Jackie Ruddy, broker of Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate. When opportunity knocks, you want to be ready. At Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate, we have an exceptional understanding of the real estate market. With over 40 years experience, we make sure when you walk through our door, you will be given the highest level of service. Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate can help smooth the way when things get complicated. You need the real estate representation you deserve, and Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate can deliver.
Hi, I'm Pat Devaney, and I'm a realtor with Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate. We will guide you during every step. Call us today for any questions. Whether you are buying or selling, call 570-344-6724. That's 344-6724. Friend us on Facebook or visit jruddy.com. And don't forget to tune into the Real Estate Roundtable Saturdays at 11 a.m. and Sundays at 11:30.
When selling your property with Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate, you will experience the gold standard. Our network is your edge, where experience and expertise intersect with your real estate goals and dreams. We know and understand you want to sell at the right price with as few worries as possible. It's reassuring to know Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate has been guiding clients down the golden path of selling for over 40 years. Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate makes your dreams a reality by maximizing the exposure of your property here and around the nation, harvesting the power of the internet. We shepherd you through every step of the selling process from start to finish, from the marketing, the offer, the inspection, the contract, then the close. Great listeners, skilled negotiators, and focused on every detail so you achieve the highest level of service you deserve. Call Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate at 344-6724. That's 344-6724, or visit www.jruddy.com, where they will work to champion your best interests all the way.
You're joining the Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate on 94.3 FM The Talker. I'm Jackie Ruddy, broker, in with my husband, Fell Realtor, and our special guest today, Pat Devaney.
Good morning again.
Retired New York City Fire Department.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Retired New York City firefighter.
Firefighter.
No more fireman.
No, I haven't been a fireman in a long time.
Firefighter.
Yeah, they changed that about 20 years ago.
Okay. So we're up on things here.
Yes.
Kim. Okay. All right. And we're in our discussion today is Jessica. Good morning again.
Good morning.
Before the break, we were talking about fire drills and fire exit plans, escape plans with the family. How many exits should one find from each room in the house?
Two ways out of each room.
Okay. Now, if you only have one doorway, what's the other exit?
Usually a window.
Okay. If your window is high, what do you do?
Well, close the door. And lots of times what people have are those portable ladders, the rope ladders. But those can be very tricky. I'm not too keen on those ladders, especially around small children. They think they're toys and we're going to throw it out the window and we're going to climb up and out. And
then, my kid.
And then as they're teenagers, they use it to sneak out on you, right? So I...
All right, so you're not sold on those.
No, I'm not sold on them.
But they might be an option.
Yeah, but I mean, you got fire licking at the door and there's no other way out. It'll save your life.
Okay. All right. And, you know, one thing that I thought about on break was there is some sort of myth out there that people think that if you get into your bathtub, if there's a fire, that'll save their life.
I don't understand. What usually gets you is the smoke will get you before the fire gets you. And then usually... the smoke gets you, the smoke will kill you, and it's some kind of an urban myth. I don't know where that came from.
So stay out of the bathtub.
Stay out of the bathtub and don't hide under the bed and teach the kids that the firemen are good. Go to the firemen if you hear them. You know, even though we look like monsters, we're not.
Okay.
With all the
equipment, all the gear and the lights on and the beeping and everything going on.
How much weight is all that gear? How much weight does that add to you?
our gear, we got on a scale. We were at a hospital. We were at Brookdale Hospital. We were at a fire, and there was a scale there. And I got on the scale with all my tools. I was 100 pounds more.
Wow.
So could you imagine adding 100 pounds to you and going up how many, like...
flights of stairs.
Right.
And
in New York City, that's the thing that they do. They're going up and down stairs.
Full firefighting gear with all your tools that we used to have to carry. We used to have to carry a rabbit tool and hand tools and a Scott pack and the uniform. It was a lot of weight.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
And we would wonder why we were dripping wet with sweat every time we came back from a job.
Okay, how about cigarettes and cigarette smokers and people that smoke in the house?
It used to be a big problem. We haven't seen it lately. As the end of my career, it started trailed off, but there was a lot of mattress fires. Mattress fires, a lot of the newer mattresses are fire retardant. You know, somebody would fall asleep in bed with a cigarette, or they would fall asleep in the lounge chair, or maybe in a couch, a cigarette would get in there and it would smolder and it would get going. So that's why it's important to have smoke detectors, so when these things get started, you can get them when they're small.
Well, never smoke in bed is a good way for that not to happen. But people, you know, I mean, they're relaxing, they're watching TV and have maybe a drink or a cocktail or two, and then, you know, that could happen. All right. I have a story there where actually this woman, I was living in a 3-unit years and years ago, and she was a smoker, and she was walking around in a rush to get to work and an ash drop from her cigarette. She did not know. And she left. She went to work. Mm. And the house filled up with smoke. And the fire department was called. And thank God there wasn't, you know, a major fire or any major losses. But that ash from that cigarette was in the carpet, and it smoldered, and it, I mean, she had a lot. She had some smoke damage in her unit. I did not, thankfully. But there wasn't. It was put out. But, you know, just
something as simple or stupid as that can set it all off.
And it could destroy your life.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't even know it.
You got to be careful.
And I even went in my material that I pulled for this show. It said, you know, before you even put your cigarette butts into the garbage, just get in the habit of putting them under the...
under the faucet.
Yeah, under the faucet to throw them out, because stuff happens, right?
Yeah, one thing we didn't talk about is if you're a smoker, it sounds like common sense stuff, but keep the matches away from kids, because kids are going to play with the matches. They'll play with the lighter. They'll figure out how to get it going. Where I grew up, 2 houses down, the guy was a cop. His kids burned his house down. I mean, everybody got out. I remember it clearly.
Well, but wasn't it just a couple weeks ago, there was 3 kids that started a fire down here at the Garrity's on Kaiser Avenue?
Yeah, they hit the pallets behind the building.
Yeah.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was intentional. Yeah.
Was it?
Yeah. I'm pretty sure that was intentional.
Yeah, I don't know enough about to comment one way or another, but my brother, when he was a little boy, used to play with matches, and there was a story we would constantly hear over the years, and he was playing next to my father while my father was sleeping in bed, and he set the curtains on fire. Yeah, luckily my dad woke up, there was no major damage, you know, and then they took the matches, and they were forever
forbidden.
Yes, yes.
Banned
yes.
from the house.
Yes.
My cousins caught a mattress on fire, because they were playing under the bed.
Mm-hmm.
With the matches.
That's right. Common sense stuff, but it kind of gets lost in the shuffle.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, how about fireplaces, wood-burning fireplaces? What do we do? What don't we do with chimneys and cleaning and how often and so on and so forth?
I went to fires from improperly maintained chimneys. I remember one house in particular where the person just started, the fireplace hadn't been used in a long time, and they burnt a fire in the fireplace, and the next thing you know, there's second floor is filling with smoke because the fire got out of the chimney and into the building. So the chimney should be inspected once a year, have it swept. It makes a big difference what kind of wood you burn. I'm not particularly sure which woods are better than others, but make sure your wood is dry, and some woods are better than others, but have a chimney sweep come in and sweep it out and inspect it once a year to make sure it's safe to use to burn in the fireplace.
And when you remove the ashes, where do you put them?
Don't put them next to the house.
There was a big fire on Christmas in Connecticut.
That's right. Several people were killed. It was terrible. They put the ashes next to the house, and it burned the house down, and a couple of people were killed. So just a little bit of inattention, and you go in the house, and there's no smoke detector because it's the exterior of the building, and it was a wooden exterior, and it just caught the building, and it was It was a tragedy.
Oh, it really was.
A real tragedy.
Okay, how about general home safety tips? Is there anything else that you want to cover regarding fires? And, Jessica, on the break, you talked about lawnmowers and cut grass in the bags.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know how much truth there is to it or not, but I was told that the lawnmowers that have the baggers on them, you're supposed to empty them as soon as you're done. You know, don't stick them back in the garage or anything, especially with people who have attached garages.
Oh, yes.
Because as that grass sits in there, it composts, can get really, really hot. It's combustible and can catch on fire.
Well, one of the tips I have here on my home fire safety tips that I pulled from the internet, regularly clear and dispose of dry or dead vegetation in your yard or other areas near your home.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. But since a couple of safety tips, I mean, you've always heard of stop, drop, and roll. If you're doing something and your clothing catches fire, like say you're have your scarf on and you're over the stove and it catches fire, don't start running around like a lunatic. What you have to do is you have to stop, drop, and roll and try and put yourself out.
Right.
Don't run around. You're just going to make it worse.
Yeah, don't wear loose clothes when cooking. And there was something I read, tight-fitting clothes, and because you're right. As you mentioned, you wouldn't wear your tie if you were working on your...
Yeah, right. I'm going to be working on an old car and running the engine with my necktie hanging into it so it can grab me and pull me face first into the motor.
From hygienic purposes, yes. I always tie my hair back when I cook.
Yeah.
I have really, really, really long hair, and if I have to lean over and grab the salt or the pepper off the back of the stove, I don't want my hair catching on fire.
Well, if you're in a robe, and, you know, big baggy robe or something like that, it just, you don't realize you're putting your hand over to go into the cupboard, and next thing you know, you're on fire.
Make sure everything's clear from the stove, no papers near the stove. If people do that, you know, they have a pile of papers, stuff can get knocked over.
Or dish rags.
Dish rags. And one quick thing I wanted to talk about is we had a tragedy by the firehouse is that there was a big heavy television that was on a stand and there was a 2-year-old who was climbing on the front of the TV and the TV actually tumbled over and killed this little kid. So in our house, we have one of the big old TVs. We have it screwed to the base and we have it secured to the wall. So in case it can't get pulled over onto a child.
Right, because Patrick's 6 and it could still, if it was to fall on him, it would kill him.
Yes.
And, I keep the remote controls, lower so that if he goes into that room and wants to turn on the TV, he's not climbing to get to it. But another thing that I read was to keep furniture away from windows and because children like to climb.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm always after him, and that's when I'm around, so God knows what happens when I'm not around, but we have a bookshelf that's attached to the wall in his bedroom with all his books, and I see him climbing on the baseboard heat. And if
he does the same thing.
He's pulling on it, that thing can come down and hit him over the head, and I'm always saying, no, no, no.
Yeah. See, the only difference with Shane's is that his is actually built into the wall, into the floor. So it's not going anywhere. I mean, even so, one of those shelves or anything comes out and it's in,
he gets hit over the head.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Yeah, so we have to always be mindful about that. But people, things I pulled here say drawers have been used by children as stairs. Mm-hmm. So if you anchor that chest to, that dresser to the wall, it will prevent that from falling over. And, and if they're near windows, it'll prevent a fall out of that window. Anything else, Pat?
No, I think we covered it all.
Okay, well, great topics, 2 weeks in a row. And before we close, would you like to review something?
Yes, I have a fun article. This is from CNN Money. It says, do you want a date? Buy a home. When it comes to dating, home ownership is the ultimate aphrodisiac. There was a survey conducted of 1,000 people. And 2% of the women said they preferred to date a man who rents. And only 3% of men said they would choose a woman who rents over one who owns a home. There's some bad news here for the growing number of boomerang kids. You know what a boomerang kid is?
Mm-hmm.
That's the young adult who went off to college, graduated, and went and wound up back in their own bedroom. The survey said that's a real deal breaker. Less than 5% of all singles surveyed said they would date someone living in their childhood home. So if you want a date, buy a home.
Good advice. Thank you, Pat. And my tip of the day, think big. You know, furniture is large these days, and you can put oversized furniture in small spaces. Too much small furniture in a small room can make the space feel cluttered and full. Instead, by fewer, larger pieces to make a small space feel roomier. Thanks for joining the Real Estate Roundtable on 94.3 FM, The Talker. Again with Jackie Ruddy, broker, in with Pat Devaney.
Thank you very much.
We're of Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate. During the week, please feel free.
Free to email us with any questions at questions@jruddy.com. That's questions@jruddy.com. Or call us at 570-344-6724.
Remember to tune in next Saturday at 11 a.m. or Sunday at 11:30 a.m. to listen to the Real Estate Roundtable. Thanks for joining us and have a spectacular weekend.
All Century 21 real estate offices are independently owned and operated.